I could say Happy New Year because it is the beginning of the new year in the church calendar. A couple of things I wanted to mention. Thank you, music team. The songs, bringing us in and allowing us to experience God in a different way with music. I also want to mention a couple of people, and not to single them out, but one of the things that we have strived for and will be doing that more and more is as you do things, you're always looking for people to replace or people that you can mentor into. And as you look at the stage today, it's Edie's creation through God's inspiration. You know, Sue Ann has done a wonderful job with this, and I trust that she will do so again. But this set is from Edie. The tree over there is from Renee. We get the blessing of other people's inspiration from God. So as you enjoy over the next few weeks, the stage presence and the tree and Ross's train that is there, you know, it's a blessing to see. And I hope you get a chance to tell him thank you, but to thank God for the talent that he has put into people. What a blessing it is. If you would bow your heads. Most loving Father God, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, God, we thank you for the season that you have brought us into, the beginning of the calendar as we look at it. But God, as we anticipate the next weeks of what you have laid out far before there was any creation of anything, God, you brought this into being, this time, these events. And God, we thank you for it. We ask that today you would use my voice, but God, that the words would be yours, that we would hear individually what you have. And I know I say that often, but I don't mean that in any light manner. I truly ask God through your Holy Spirit to speak to each one that we might hear what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Put on Jesus, our hope. It's an interesting thing as we think about the beginning of this season. Today marks the beginning of the new church year with the celebration of Advent. And, you know, this is something that we've become a little more accustomed to over the last few years, but it's something that I hope we look at and it's new every year for us. Advent focuses on the three comings of Jesus. His coming to the world as a child, and that's something that we will be addressing in the next few weeks. His coming to live in us, which is true. His final coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Today we focus on this final coming and the great hope that we have as we anticipate Jesus' return. What comes to your mind, if you feel comfortable to share, please do so. But what comes to your mind when you think of the return of Jesus?
Being taken up.
Being taken up.
Yeah.
Okay.
The intensity of the times.
The intensity of the times?
The joy that will follow.
The joy that will follow. You know, it's something that a lot of people don't even think about. They read about it, they know what's going to happen, but they don't even contemplate what that might look like. Every one of these is so true. And if you're afraid of heights, I don't think it'll be a problem. You know, to realize the magnitude of what that will look like. And yeah, it will be intense. But the joy, I don't think anybody in here, if we pooled all of our imagination, could express what that joy will be like, what it will actually occur. In Romans 13, and we're going to be reading 11 through 14, that's kind of scattered throughout the message today, but we'll start with verse 14. To live like this is all the more urgent. Okay, now I'm going to stop right there. This is referring to previous scripture that Paul was referring to, and it's, you know, talking about loving your neighbor, talking about loving those around you. So to live loving your neighbor, if we wanted to mix those together, is all the more urgent. For time is running out. And you know it is a strategic hour in human history. And today's message is not about Christ's return and when it's going to happen. One, I don't know. Two, the Bible says none of us do. But we do know that it will happen. It is a time for us to wake up. For our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. And I thought of that this past Tuesday as I was sitting at the chapel at the Rest Haven Mortuary, Marla's funeral. And I know she looked forward to the time when she would be with Jesus. There was no question. If you talk to her, the last few years, she was actually frustrated that she didn't die sooner because of some poor health issues. She anticipated and wanted to be in that time. For those of you who are there, and if not, I will give you a little imagery. We're sitting there, and when the weather front changed, the wind came through, the outside door to that chapel flew open. I mean, whoosh, and the air and the wind. And Marianne told me later, someone said, that was Marla's leaving. You know, I don't know. You know, it's, but the humor of that, but the magnitude of she was anticipating. Do we even give that a thought? It's time for action. It's time to set everything else aside and completely focus every thought and action. The question I pose, do you agree with that? Or do you believe it? And if you believe it, what does that mean in your world, in your life? Verse 12, night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. You could insert night's darkness, our broken world. Our broken world is what we see every day, but it is passing. It will no longer be here at some point. It is dissolving away. And as we reach more or extreme brokenness, that's ever closer to the time when it will be joyful, as Marianne said. It's coming. It's time to wake up from our sleep. It's time to look past every day. And we can get caught up in our everyday, whether it's going to a job where many in this room are now retired or will be soon. And the joke is, well, what's today? Every day is the same. You know, that's time to wake up. It's time to realize that we are living in a time before this time of joy. The night is far gone. The day is near. The broken world is leaving. The day of joy is coming. It is near. Christ's coming is a present reality. Do you believe that? Is that a part of something you think of on a daily basis? Is that something you pray about? Is it a focal point in your mind that God is coming, that Jesus is coming back to this earth as we go through our daily routine? Is a part of that day the reality, that joyful experience of Christ returning to this earth as King of Kings, is coming. When we talk about, and we'll go to verse 12 first, and once and for all we clothe ourselves with radiance of light as our weapon. Now the parallel to this is in Ephesians, and we've talked about this before, but I'm going to read them again. From Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, put on the belt of truth. This is referencing the armor of God, but it is clothing that we can put on symbolically. The radiance of light. If you look at each one of those and think that as each item is illuminating the radiance of Jesus Christ, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the shoes for proclaiming the gospel. That means we're not afraid to say what we believe in the right situation. If someone asks us, we're willing to share. We're allowing that illumination. You know, we've all seen the kids with the shoes that light up when they walk through the room. Can you imagine that being the presence of Jesus Christ illuminating those shoes? The shield of faith, reflecting that beautiful light of God. The helmet of salvation, a beacon that is coming out, that radiance of light. The sword of the Spirit. We've all seen pictures or movies where a polished sword, the reflection of that polished sword shines light. You know, the folks in the movie industry, they capture every angle of that to get your attention. Is that a part of who you are? Do you walk around with the presence and the radiance of Jesus Christ illuminating your world and to all that are around you? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what today is about, the hope of his return. We get to be a part of that. The very reason that Jesus entered our world is so that he could enter into our individual lives, that he could abide in us and we could abide in him. Is Jesus welcomed in your world, in your body, in your presence? Is it obvious? There are days that I can be around somebody and I'm just humbled by the very presence of Jesus in their life. It just emanates. They just flows out of that person. And we've all experienced that, I'm quite sure. There's others that not so much. And unfortunately, sometimes that not so much is the person I look at in the mirror. So it's a recognition and a hope that that presence, that illuminating light, just flows. Not that you blind anybody, not that you are Jesus, but he lives in you. And he abides in you and you in him. Our being clothed in Jesus and wrapped in his love can bring the lasting joy and contentment we yearn for. Man has pushed and shoved and denied God at so many levels. And in this broken world, it seems ever more so. But when you talk to somebody that it's obvious that their focal point is Jesus Christ, they're not unhappy people. They may be carrying a heavy load, but they're not unhappy about it. They are enjoying being in the presence of Jesus Christ. And they don't have a problem sharing that. It's being clothed in Jesus to anticipate that rising up. That person is excited. They're looking forward to those days. In verse 13, We must live honorably and surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness and debauchery, nor in promiscuity and sensuality, not being argumentative or jealous of others. That's kind of the traditional restrictions that we hear, that we use. Drunkenness and debauchery, not promiscuity, and sensuality. Do we run into those every day? At least weekly? Probably so. Because we need to eradicate those from our lives. And I'm not saying that we all live in that world, but we're a part of the broken world. But we allow Jesus to get between us and that world, to shield us, to protect us, to allow that illumination of Him in us to shine forth. We want to define love on our terms rather than put on Christ and be embraced by His sustaining love. Now, we can say mankind wants to define love on their terms rather than put on Christ and be embraced by His sustaining love. And that would be probably a true statement. I think everybody would agree. Put your name in that sentence. Kirk wants to define love on his terms rather than put on Christ and be embraced by His sustaining love. I pray that that doesn't exist. I pray that as if it does, it's getting less and less. And that's part of what we're anticipating and looking forward to, and the hope of Jesus Christ coming back as King. That is no longer an issue. We don't need to define love. Jesus already has. He shows it in our lives. That's the beauty and the joy. We don't have to put ourselves in that. We can say Jesus does define love. And that's as good as it can get. Fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. Don't dwell on the things you're inadequate about. Dwell on Jesus living in you. Those inadequacies will go away. They will fade because you no longer cater to them. You no longer give them time to enter your mind and your being in your daily life. You allow Jesus to be the center point, the focal point. You don't have to worry about the things around you because Jesus is there taking care of it. We may not always feel it or see it, but Advent, the season we've entered today, points to a new day in Christ. Think about the joy of what that will be. How wonderful it will be that there will no longer be horrible things happening to other people. There will no longer be storms of destruction, of people that are being hurt or killed just by events in nature, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, all of that will cease. It goes away. This is a time that we can think of the future, and we'll be a part of it. Jesus has brought us into a new day. And the reality we see now is that we are children of God, wrapped and swaddled in Jesus. Do you see yourself wrapped in God's love? Do you see yourself as a child of God? Jesus is our hope, our help that abides with us and in us. Do you believe that? Do you live that? Two different things. Believing it is a beginning. Living it is every day. Anticipating what that day will look like what that will be like, and the joy, and it's hard to explain. And I hope we all would spend time in thinking about, but sharing with one another what you think about that day when Christ establishes his kingdom, the difference it will make. The fullness of our salvation is closer today than it has ever been. And I'm not saying that we're living in the end times, as the Bible refers to it in Revelation, but I have coined a phrase, I'm living in my end times, because when I die, my times are over. And I would venture to guess that probably holds true for everyone else in the room. And here we are, Advent 2019. Who would have thought 10, 20, 30 years ago about today? We are closer every day. Now, I was going to stop with this, but this morning I came across a reading, and this is from an instructor. I think he's actually the director of GCI congregations in Australia. John McKenna, I believe, is his name. And I'm going to read this little letter that he has here. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. It starts out, I have never played much golf. And when I did, it showed. My friend called my approach the hit and hope method. And he was almost right. He thought I just hit the ball and hoped it went in the right direction. Actually, I just hoped I hit the ball. Much of life can be this way. What passes for hope is often wishful thinking. We hope our team wins, that tomorrow is better than today. Let's face it, these hopes often let us down. Hence the old saying, hope makes a good breakfast, but a poor supper. Have you ever had hopes that were disappointed? That's something we all share. Yet this is not the biblical notion of hope. The hope of the gospel is something far more robust, lasting and life-changing and eternal. The hope of the gospel is grounded in the person of Jesus. Paul succinctly says that Jesus is our hope from 1 Timothy 1:1. This is a hope not dependent on circumstances. Do you think about that? Our hope is not dependent on circumstances. External situations, pressures, and outcome. Our hope isn't based on any of that. This is a hope that transcends all situations. It is not the absence of trials, pressures, or stresses, but the assurance of Jesus' presence in the midst of these things. And indeed, every part of life, Jesus is there, every part of your life. It's a hope that never disappoints, because Jesus doesn't disappoint. It's participating in the life of the God of hope through the power of the Spirit, a hope that inspires us and through the Spirit creates joy and peace in our innermost being. It's the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ that enables us to endure patiently and work energetically in the love of others. That's that radiant light that you would wear of Jesus Christ. May the hope of Jesus encourage and empower and guide you. And I will end with the prayer that he quotes from Romans 15 and verse 13. And may we share Paul's prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with a hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.